Can we say praise the Lord for Sister Virginia getting filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. The Bible says more rejoicing than ever. Over one that repenteth, that 99 that needeth no repentance. So we bless the Lord tonight. We thank God for filling her with the Holy Ghost. She started last night. Well, she couldn't relax enough yet. Her chair was moving, everything was shaking, but God is good. So today she went home last night and said, I think she cheated on us. She got it last night, but she confirmed it today. Nevertheless, you didn't get it? Okay. Hey, the most important thing is she got it, right? So I said, something about the Holy Ghost, I cannot explain what I got. Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank God tonight that she did get it. And we bless the Lord. Thank God. Also, we want to remind you to keep Mr. Gellin Donning from Macon, Georgia in prayer. He had open heart surgery on Monday. Bishop said he's doing all right, but he needs prayer. And so it's so much that we need to pray for. We just pray for this world's going crazy. You know? One guy goes out and shoots an innocent, formal man for no reason. Then has a nerd even put it on whatever, Facebook. Shut down social media. Some of these crazy people stop doing crazy things because it just makes them popular. Nevertheless, we pray for that. We just pray for God to continue to have his way. How many of you just want to be in God's will? Yeah. Old song said the safest place in the whole wide world is where? The will of God. That's the safest place in the whole wide world. So let us stand for our scripture reading. We bless God. We thank God for my wife. Bless her with life, health, and strength. We thank God for all of you. And I was speaking to Bishop today, he said, it just seemed like so many, there are so many health challenges all over. Not, you know, every time you turn around, like they said earlier, someone is being diagnosed with some kind of illness. But God is the God of all illnesses. God can make ways out of no ways. So let's just continue to pray and to believe God that he is our keeper. Amen. So we come tonight. We're going to finish up in Genesis. We're going to start in the 15th verse. We made it this far last week. We're going to go from Genesis 2:15 to Genesis 2:25. We do have stuff prepared for Genesis chapter 3, but I don't think we'll get that far. Amen? Amen. All right. If you all have, I'm going to start in the 15th verse of the second chapter. Now, one of the most important things, in order to really get an understanding of the Bible, we need to stop thinking like Gentiles. To get an understanding of the Bible, we have to stop like Gentiles or like the Greeks, but we have to start thinking more, even though we're not Jewish, we have to think with the Jewish, with the Jewish culture, of the Jewish nature, to fully understand the message that God is trying to convey to us. Because when we look at like a Greek or a Gentile, the Bible is nothing more than a novel or literature, but when we see it from the Jewish perspective, there is a deeper meaning to almost every word that is used. So that's important. Right? We need to stop thinking like we've been trained to think. Mm-hmm. Amen. No wonder Paul said, be ye transformed. Because all my life we were thinking one way, but now that we're in Christ, we have to have our minds transformed. Amen. Verse 15 reads, and the Lord God took a man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So his job was to dress the garden and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Out of what?
Ground.
Out of the ground, he formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Listen, so the Lord God formed. So the Lord God forms everything, right? And he does what? Brings it to Adam. So is that a physical or is that spiritual? think about that. Just keep that in mind. This is for Elder Gibbs' question he asked the other day, but we're not going to get to that until tomorrow or next week anyway. But he farmed them, and it says, scripture then said that he let them come, but he did what?
He brought them.
He brought them. How did he bring them? He didn't bring them in the spirit, because the spirit, you can't see that. Right? So now let's think like a what? Like a Jew. So he was, he brought them unto Adam, right? To see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, clothes of the flesh thereof. So is this the Spirit doing this? The Spirit said, so a lot of the Spirit said. So, you know, we have to change the way we think, right? Because we think a lot of God's Spirit. Right? But he said he cut them and he closed them up. Took a rip. Right? All right, so let's keep that in mind. We go a little deeper, longer level later. As long as y'all ask a lot of questions, we might get there tonight. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and
brought her.
He what?
Brought her.
He sent her.
Brought her.
The Spirit brought her.
Brought her.
You woman? The Lord God brought her unto the man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word. And the church said, the Lord is blessed already. Amen. So let's turn to our notes. We start in 27. So just remember that. Look, the scripture, you know, when the scripture says Abraham rejoiced, Jesus said Abraham rejoiced to see what?
My day.
John 8:56 says Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Those Jews took up stones. They said, wait a minute. What are you trying to say? You're trying to call yourself God? Right? So think about all this. Right? And then the Bible said that Jesus was created after the order of Melchizedek. He had no beginning, no ending, no descent, no mother, no father, right? He was there. Right? Good. Now put that in your storage space. And you'll remember that until later. So can you put that one up, Shire? I tried to put it so you do art. It's kind of little. I got to make it bigger next time. But you can follow with me anyway. All right, that's so important. We have to train ourselves to think differently. We're in a, when you get in church and get saved, it's a different spiritual culture. I use this example when I was in Georgia. When we lived in Georgia, we used different terminologies and different things because we were in a different culture. So my mother, being the wise woman that she was, when we were getting ready to come to New York, she said, okay, I have to train you all to think differently. Think differently, what do you mean? Because down south, we never call soda soda. Right? We know we call pop. We said, we're going to get a drink. That's what we call it. She said, okay. Now, when you go to New York, you can't go say you're going to get a drink, because in New York, a drink is alcohol. So she said, when you get to New York, now you have to go get soda. You understand? It's a different culture. And there were other things that she taught us because she realized that we were going to a different culture. So it's so important tonight for us to realize in doing what we're doing, we're in a different, I have my mic, in a different culture. Hey, does anybody have a mic? The background? What question? Alright, so remember the culture, right? We will never fully understand the Bible unless we change the way we thing. We have to change our approach to the Bible. Alright? Every name for God to us is God. But from the Hebrew or the Jewish perspective, every name for God is different. Alright, does everyone understand that? Alright, so on page 27 it says, we must keep in mind that God's names are a what? Progressive self-revelation about himself to man and to his. So all of God's names are a self-progressive about who he really is. As with God's name, every name that's named in the Bible, which we will find out, is not what we think it is. But we are thinking like Gentiles and Greeks. So when we read it, they have different meanings, okay? But especially to the church. Last week we went on the fact that God's name was what? Secret and not known. I left the end off, so for you literary critics, I know, it's not spelled right. Alright, so Genesis 32, 29, and 30. We just want to go over something about names before we get into what we're going to go over. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Well, you would think that Jacob would know his name because all through the Bible, he said he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of? But it's, Jacob says, I knew your God, but what is your name? All right? Okay? And he said, wherefore is it that thou ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And then let's go to Judges 13. Judges 13, it's not 17, it should be 22, all right? Judges 13, 22. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? All right, remember, his name or self-progressive revelation about himself. Okay, remember that, self-progressive revelation. He said, what is thy name? Then that when thy saying come to pass, we may do thee honor. I guess it is 17 and 18, I'm right at 22. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret? Now, in the Jewish culture, everyone that was named, that name had a significance. Right. They didn't just arbitrarily have all these different names like we got today. In their culture, their name revealed something about the character of the individual. All right, so let's remember that as well. All right, so he said, why ask is God after my name? Saying it is what? Secret. And the secret is the word pilei, which is wonderful. We can clearly see as we read Isaiah 9, 6, that all of God's Old Testament names are revealed in the child that was born. Right? His Old Testament names are revealed in the child that was born, and the son that is to be given. It said, and the all power and authority was going to be upon his shoulder. All right, and then Matthew 28:18, when after Jesus rose from the dead, he said, what? All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. That's part of the fulfillment of Isaiah 9:6, that the government, rule, power, and authority will be upon his shoulder. Alright? And then if we let's read Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Well, didn't the angel tell Manoah? He said, my name is secret, meaning it is wonderful. So Isaiah said, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. His name is going to be the Everlasting Father. Who is it going to be? It's going to be in the child. Amen? So now let's go to Isaiah 40. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. We just gone over the names, but then we're going to get deeper into it because everything is not just a name. in simplicity like we see it. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Isaiah 40, verse 1 through 5 says, comfort ye, my people, says your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the... You know that's talking about hope. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for... Well, is the Lord that he's our God. Lord is Jehovah or Jehovah. Our God is... I don't know if that's going to go him or not, so I'm not going to say that. I forgot to look that one up. But it's our God. It's going to be him. It's going to be one of them. All right? So you all can find that out for yourself. It says, for every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and what?
All flesh
shall see it. Remember Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. Right? He said, then listen, he's going to come, and when he comes, all flesh is going to see him. This is the glory of the Lord. Alright? So when Moses was asking, remember Jesus went over last week in John the 5th chapter, he said, Moses wrote about me. And we're going to go a little deeper into that in a few minutes too. So he said, this is the glory of the Lord is revealed, and guess who's going to see it? Some people.
All flesh.
Who's going to see it?
All
flesh is going to see it. Amen. He said, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now jump down to verse 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Has it not been told you? This is not something new. It's from the what? From the beginning. Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon thee. Where is he sitting? They keep sitting all these people up there trying to figure out if it's square or flat. The Bible just said it right there. Where is he sitting at? If he's sitting on a circle, it's what?
Round.
So you didn't got to try to figure it out, just read God's word. I think if you turn the highs down a little bit, I think my highs are a little, that's why I'm reading from the mountains. All right, so they're trying to figure out, well, is the earth flat, is it around, what is it? What is he that sitteth upon the, he's sitting on the circle of the earth. So if he's sitting on the circle, that means it what?
Round.
Amen? And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. Remember they said if the princes of this world had known who the Lord was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So he bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. He said, to whom will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, says the
Holy One.
The Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created
these?
Who created these things? God, in the beginning, God
created.
Then we read in, I believe it was in Colossians, it says Jesus created. Alright? He said, who has created all these things? Amen? He called it, he said, he bringeth out the host by number. The host is the stars and the sun and the moon, all by number. He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power and not one failed. Why saith thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from
the Lord.
From the Lord, talking about Jehovah. And my judgment is passed over from my Elohim. So he's using these terms with Jehovah is our covenant God, our covenant relationship. When he says God, that is Elohim as what? Creator. Amen? Yes. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard the
everlasting
God? Well, we already read in Isaiah 9:6, right? What did Isaiah call him? He called him the everlasting Father, but the everlasting God, the what? The Lord, the
Creator.
He's all of that. Everlasting Father. He's the Lord and he is the
Creator
of the universe. Think of not my thing is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Alright, then Malachi kind of supports this. It says he was sent forth the messenger. All right, now let's go to Proverbs 30, verses 1 through 4. I wanted to bring this out last week. Throughout Bible history, people have wanted to know what is his
name.
What is his name? Well, they knew him as God, they knew him as Elohim, they knew him as, but that wasn't the
name.
There was something special about the
name.
About the name. Yes. Amen? Yes. So this is Proverbs 30, verse 1 says, the words of Agar, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukel. He says, surely I am brutish. I am more brutish than any man. Brutish means to be beast-like. It means to just react out of nature. It means not to think. Right? If you see animals, do animals think? That's what brutish means. It means that you are animalistic in your nature. Amen? And have not the understanding. He said, I neither learn wisdom nor have knowledge of the holy. Then he asks a question. He asks, who has ascended up into heaven or who?
Jesus.
Well, who ascended?
Jesus.
Who also?
Jesus.
Descended. Jesus. Right? And in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he said that he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man, when he what? When he rose, when he ascended, all right? So he said, well, who has ascended or who has descended? Who has gathered the wisdom, the wind in his? We know that's who. It can only be God. Who has bound the waters in a garden? And if we had more time, I would go over Proverbs 8 chapter, because that explains something about the wisdom of God. Wisdom said, I was with God in the beginning. Wisdom said, I'm with God for everlasting. But wisdom is a female now. So remember that. Now, we know no females were with God in heaven, right? So if you look it up, wisdom was a female. But it's a shadow of a type of something to come. All right? He says, who has established all the ends of the earth? Who established it? So what is his
name
and what is his?
Son.
If you can tell, what is his name and what is his? Listen, they all knew that God by his name, but there was a name that was hid. There was a name that was not revealed. So throughout the history of the Jews, they wanted to know what is his? His name. Right now, big Bishop P.T. Edwards said, every name of God is fulfilled in one name. And that name is
Jesus.
Jesus. All right? So let's just remember that as well. So now let's go. Godly men will always relate to the Lord, which is Jehovah. God, you know him as their
Redeemer.
Ooh, godly men. Godly men won't call him God, you know him. Because when you say God Elohim, that is just a creator. But when you add the name Lord to that, Jehovah, he is Jehovah Elohim. He is that is our covenant God. So ungodly men won't call them Lord Jehovah, our Lord God. Right? Names are important. Does everybody understand that? Well, names are very important. So only godly men will call him Lord It's kind of challenging, but don't think like a Gentile. You got to think like a Jew, all right? Does everybody have that? All right. Now, Job says in 1925, "For I know that my Redeemer," he said, "my Redeemer's alive where? Right now." Who redeemed man? Jesus. Right? Remember we went over in Job. Job said, "Under the earth, turned into the was a fire." And Job was before came. He wrote, Job was the oldest book in the Bible. He said, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand." The what? Marinades upon the ends of the earth. He said, "But right now, my Redeemer." Well, Jesus wasn't born yet. But he was a Redeemer. But even Job said, "Things too wonderful for me that I know not." Because he knew he was a Redeemer, but he did not know his name. Amen. So Isaiah 44:24 says, "Thus says Jehovah, thy Redeemer, that formed thee," yes, sir, it's a creator, "in the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." But we just read in Isaiah earlier that God sitteth upon this circle of the earth. That God stretches the heavens like a girdle. He said, "But now the Lord is doing it." They're the same. They're no difference. All right? When ungodly men, as I said, can only call it Elohim. And let's compare this scripture. Now, once again, stop thinking like Gentiles and Greeks. Now we have to think like a Jew. Does everybody understand that? Mm-hmm. So, for the unsaved, they call him God. But let's not say the unsaved, because that's before the saved. But the ungodly can only refer to him as God. They can never call him Lord God because they don't have a covenant. The names are very important, all right? So let's go to 2 Chronicles 18:31. We'll read the scripture and then we'll go back. It says, "And it came to pass when the captain of the chariots of Jehoshaphat, that they said to this king of..." This is when Jehoshaphat went to help Ahab, and God sent him, man of God said, "You're going to help the ungodly?" But then Ahab tricked Jehoshaphat into wearing, he said, "Let's exchange robes." Right about then, Jehoshaphat should have said, "Wait a minute, something wrong." He had already asked. He said, "That's not a real man of God here to inquire about this man." Why would Jehoshaphat allow Ahab to trick him in the exchange of robes? Right? Because when you're not in the place of God where you ought to be, you do not have the spiritual discernment to make the proper decision. Because he was doing it out of emotion, but he wasn't doing it out of believing for God. Right? So Jehoshaphat is there. Amen? And he says, Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. All right, so now let's go back. Jehoshaphat cried out, who helped Jehoshaphat? The Lord who? Jehovah. Does everybody have that? Y'all know, sir, got that? Now, Jehovah was a godly king, so the Lord Jehovah helped Jehoshaphat. All right, but then in the same verse, it says, and God moved them to depart. Well, how can it be the Lord and God? Because Jehoshaphat was godly, so he knew him as the Jehovah, and he had a covenant relationship. Those Assyrians, all the deliverance God doesn't read. So when Jehoshaphat cried out, he cried out to the Lord. But who moved? God. Why? Because he was only their creator. Names matter. You gotta follow. So when you read it, just look like God. No, Jehoshaphat cried to the Lord, but when the one that moved those unsaved individuals or ungodly individuals was God, because he was only their creator. Do we all understand that? So there's a difference between the covenant relationship and just the relationship as a creator. let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. I just want to establish that the importance of names. Okay? Now, verse 21 of chapter 2 reads, and the Lord God, because there's a what? Covenant relationship, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And in the Hebrew, his name is Adam. And he slept and took one of his ribs and clothes of the flesh and said thereof. And the rib was the Lord God had taken from man. Alright, so Adam and man are used interchangeably. So God refers to man as Adam in the Hebrew. All right. So follow this, because in a few minutes there's going to be a change from the name of man, from Adam to Ish. And the question is, why? Okay, so do we need, so to us we read man. But when the Hebrew or the Jews read man, they don't see it as man. They see it as Adam and they see it as Ish. They are separate. It's a whole different relationship. Names matter. All right. So it says, and the real which the Lord God had taken from man Adam, made he a woman, Isha, and brought her unto man Adam. And Adam said, this is now bones of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. In this verse, is no longer at man in the Hebrew Adam, but man is man in the Hebrew Ish. So we look at it and say, just man. No, there is now a different relationship is formed. We all understand that? It's a different relationship. Before, when it was just Adam, it was Adam in the relationship with God. Now there's a woman. Man does not have the same relationship with a woman as he has with man. Does everybody understand that? All right, so let's keep going now. Something odd happens here with the first man. Up to this point, the word used for man is Adam. But when the Adam awoke from God's formation of woman, he, Adam, said, this is now bones of my bones. She shall be called Isha, because she was taken out of Ish. He changes the relationship, because Adam was his relationship with God. Ish is now going to be a relationship with the woman. And we'll go on to find out why. Alright? She was taken out of man. How did the word Ish get in there? Everything up to this point is about Adam, not Ish. The first appearance of Ish is in the, out of the mouth of who? Adam. Adam uses the name, the woman was taken out of Ish. Does everybody understand that? Okay? The first occurrence of Ish is when Adam said, why? Even more puzzling, when we come to the principal verse about marriage, the very next verse, the word used is Ish, not Adam. Alright? And Ish shall leave his father and mother and cling to his Isha. But the next verse switches back to Adam. And they were both naked, and Adam and his Isha. In the Genesis account, it is the name of a particular being, but this isn't its usual application. In Genesis account, Adam includes several key elements. Uniqueness in creation, dependence upon God, accountability to God, and recipient of a revelation. That's what the name Adam is, all right? Adam alters the description of himself to fit her existence. He changes who he is because of who changed? Her. Adam changed from Adam to Ish because of a different relationship. Does everyone understand that? Alright? Everybody was like, what in the world? This is a man and a woman. No, it isn't. Names matter. Okay? So it says, therefore shall a man leave his Ish, and his mother's flock shall cleave to his Isha, and they shall be one flesh. Verse 24 is an intimation, which means a hint, a shadow, a type, an obscure or indirect suggestion or notice of something or a remote reference. Now let's go to Colossians 2, 16 through 17. Alright? So he changes the name, and we will go, as we go on, we can find out why he changed the name. He says, let no man, in Colossians 2, 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect to holy days, of the new moon, on the Sabbath day, which are a
shadow.
So these shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. Now we did go over this last week, but I wanted to bring it out further this week. Alright? So now, Hebrews 8:1-5, and this is talking about Moses when he received the revelation in the mountain. Remember, he said, these are a shadow of things to come, but they're not obvious. Verse 1 of 8, Hebrews 8 reads, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the Son. We have a what? High priest, who is sitting on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Who's that high priest?
Jesus.
A minister of the sanctuary and the what tabernacle?
True tabernacle.
True tabernacle. Which who picks?
The Lord.
The true tabernacle, the Lord picks this. It was a man. Amen. But let's just skip down for the sake of time to verse 5. All right? Of the same one. You can read the other three verses. Say, who served unto the example and shadow of
heavenly
things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the
tabernacle.
So Moses is about to make an earthly or worldly tabernacle, but that wasn't the true tabernacle that God was showing him in heaven. Because the true tabernacle, who picks that? God. Alright, so do we all understand that? For he says, he did not make all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mountain. Now let's go to Hebrews 9:1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and a what kind of sanctuary?
The
worldly sanctuary. Verse 10, which stood only in meat, drink, divers washing, cardinal ordinances, and both of them until the time of they were only a shadow of something to come. Right? Because the true tabernacle, who pitched the true tabernacle? God did. Right? So it says in verse 11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more. So who was the true tabernacle? Christ. But Moses was receiving all of these instructions about a tabernacle, but they were only a shadow of
things to come.
Right? Because that wasn't the real thing. So everything God had has a progressive revelation to reveal himself unto us. That's why the scripture said, the law was our schoolmaster that was going to lead us to. So everything in the Old Testament was only intended to do one thing.
Lead us to Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Everything. You say, wait a minute. Moses was building a tabernacle. And the tent that they moved from place to place, then it wasn't a real tabernacle. Because the real tabernacle, who pitched that? Then it says in this 11th verse, who was that perfect tabernacle? Christ. Right? Amen? So let's just keep going. If we compare that Ish and Isha was a type, that's why the relationship changed. Right? Because Adam was the relationship between God and man. When the woman comes on the scene, it's no longer between God and man, that is between a man and a woman. Therefore shall a man leave his mother and father, shall cling to his wife, and they twain shall be. Then when you do that, what God has put joined together?
That no man
put aside. Alright, so now this verse 24 is a shadow and type of what? Right, Genesis 2:24. is a shadow and type of what? John 3:28-29 said, he yourself bear me witness. And I said, I am not, but I am sent before him. He that has the bride, the Nymphe, is a bridegroom, the Nymphios. Alright, just Isha, bride, bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth in here, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. And if you want, theologically, what John is saying, he said, listen, John was born with the what?
The Holy Ghost.
John was born with the Holy Ghost. They said, among them men that are born among women, there riseth not another greater than who? John the Baptist. But John the Baptist said, he that is in the kingdom of God is greater than I am, because I'm just a friend. Where one was done, only the friend. Because he didn't have it back after Jesus' name. So he was just, he said, I'm the friend, but I rejoice. Because he that has the bride is a bridegroom. He said, but I'm just a friend. Well, why are you just a friend? He said, because I don't have the baptism in Jesus' name. That's why when Jesus came to John said, Jesus, stop. He said, I have need to be baptized in you. Right? But Jesus said, no, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, I'm painting the example of paving the way for you to follow. Right? So he that has the bride is the bridegroom. As great as John the Baptist was, he does not compare to the church. Because he never took on the name. That's why people mess up when they don't get the name. Until you get the name, you're nothing more than a concubine. You don't become a bride until you take on
name.
Well, if I baptize you in the name of the Father, you still don't have
name.
If I baptize you in the name of the Holy Ghost, you still don't have
name.
If I baptize you in the name of the Son, you still don't have
name.
The name is
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes.
So even though John among women have got another greater, had no comparison to the church, because the church is the elect.
Amen.
They're special. They're different. Amen. And if we ever get into the age to come, it really would blow your mind. I told my wife, I cannot go to the age to come. We just got to stay in the present age. All right, because in the age to come, Enoch is a type. Because Enoch lived what? 365 years and then the Lord what? Took him and he could not be found. All right. That's good enough. Yes?
For clarification, you said same.
Where's the mic at? Mic. Oh, Lee has it. It takes a minute, just
go. I was thinking for clarification, you said think like Hebrews. When you use the word ish, and well, that's a Hebrew
yes.
word.
Yes.
So for people that are confused, where did ish, I didn't see that in the Bible.
Ish is in the Hebrew. That's what I said.
In the Hebrew. So
ish
I just, Hebrew. You know, at first I was like, I didn't see that. But
yes,
then I just wanted to maybe somebody else would be looking at
that. That's why I put it
in. And they were.
I put it in brackets in the brown. So that's not
yes.
the original.
That's not the, that's
but
the
in the Hebrew, that's what it says. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Right. And the nymph and, you know,
yes.
all of that.
That's in the Greek. But they were taken out of each other. But as we keep going, I'm going to show you why. Okay. Yes, sir.
Since you opened that, I'm not going to stay there.
Pandora's box.
Hold it up. So I'm not going to stay there because I know you, I don't want to put you off. At the end. Because I was going to ask something along those lines. And the question is going to be, how does the average saint, the common saint, get to this knowledge?
How can they hear
from layman's? No, I'm saying layman's term. I mean, because yeah. like, that's not in the Bible, obviously.
Right.
So just the average saint, right? How do they get that knowledge and And that, don't answer that.
No, but the Bible says, study to show yourself what? Approved unto man. Unto who? God. So, all my life we've taken the teaching of people, but we never have studied. Jesus says in John 5:39, he says, search the scriptures, for they are they that what? Testify of me, right? And you shall find eternal life. But then later on, he drops down and says, even in searching the scripture, he said, you'll see it because Moses wrote about me. That's all in John 5. So when we start studying the Bible, it's not a novel. It's not a literature book. So you can't just read it and keep going. You have to stop and study. Right, that's how you get it. You have to study. So you have to have a concordance, you have to cross-reference to see which name means what in the context of what we're studying. Right. So really, it's a whole lot to us in an hour, so I don't think y'all have time to do it all.
That's so maybe point. Next service, you can just give us for instance, what books would be recommended for taking that study to the next level?
What is it?
Say there's a
good Bible dictionary and a concordance. Because the concordance normally would give you the Hebrew and the Greek.
We're asking, what do you use?
I
can't tell you what I use. Then.
That's what we're asking.
What books would you recommend?
You should have a Bible dictionary. Listen, you should have a Bible dictionary. You should have a concordance. But don't go by everything they write, because remember, most of these books are written from which perspective? Trinitarian perspective. Right? So even in reading a lot of it, because you can decipher it, then they say, because you're talking about three gods. You know there's not three gods. You know there's only one God, right? So, excuse me? Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I think Brooke has been asking questions in the back too. So the most important, get a concordance and cross-reference everything. Don't take everything at face value, all right? Because when you think of like some of the words that they use, like when you think, like I say, man, you just think man is man. But man's relationship changed with man and God, so it's a different relationship. All right, Brooke, your hand up.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say.
Okay, hold on one second. No,
go ahead. All right, I run into a lot of preachers and pastors and people from different other churches. And it's a question that they cannot answer me. And the question is, you can ask me.
Okay.
But anybody that's not apostolic, they cannot answer me. It's a very simple question. And the question is, what is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? And they can't answer that.
What Jesus said, I'll come in my Father's
name.
Yeah, so if you came in his Father's name, his name is
Jesus.
And then the Bible said that the name of Jesus, every
and I go back. For my study is Isaiah 9:6.
Yes.
Right. But they can't answer that question.
Exactly. Because they don't have a spirit.
That's right.
Because the Bible said the deep things, and this is what you call deep. The deep things of God are revealed unto us by His Spirit. If God's word was so simple, He said He's hidden for the wise and the prudent, but He's revealed them unto me. Even slow because it seems good in this life. Yes.
Mine wasn't really a question, but it was according to what Minister Simon was saying, was just the names that you're using, like the Ish and all that stuff, that's just the original Hebrew writings, right? So it's not like those particular words are not words that you're having to get from a concordance. That's just the original Hebrew
text. If you don't get the name changed, you lose the relationship. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get the name, because he's Adam, 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 then man is Adam, 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 then man becomes Ish. but it's a different relationship. So if you read man as man, you don't realize the essence of the relationship, which we'll get to in a minute.
So in the Hebrew translation, they just use the same word for everything?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't use the same word. So, yeah. Like, when we, in the Hebrew Bible, it doesn't say God. It says either Elohim, El, Eshad. They use those names.
Yes.
We just think everything is God.
That's what I'm saying. And understanding in terms of even the what different people believe, as much as it is understanding what the translation of those particular words is, because we've used a lot of the same word, but then when you look at the original Hebrew writing, it's used different words to show different relationships.
Right.
But when we translated it, it was the same word.
They did not have the spirit, so they didn't understand the deep things of God, so they just put it on the surface level. For instance, in Acts 12, I think verse 4, when they said they intended to, after Easter, to kill Peter, Easter is a mistranslation, because Easter is an occult holiday. The proper translation should be Passover, right? Because they put their own feelings in there. So you have to kind of like cross-reference a lot of stuff when you're studying God's Word. Even in the New Testament, okay, we read when Paul is writing, Paul writes a lot of stuff that when we read it on the Gentile level, it says one thing. But Paul was a what? He was a Hebrew of a Hebrew. So when he's writing from the Hebrew perspective, it's not really what we, a lot of times, what we take it to be. All right, but let's keep going through this so we can fix this up, all right? So in Ephesians 5:31-32 says, we almost finished. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall join to his wife, and they shall be
one flesh.
Which is repeating, I believe it's Genesis 2:24. Then it says something about this relationship. Right? He says, this is a what? About the man and wife being married. What is that a mystery? Mm-hmm. Think about it. So this is a what?
Grace mystery.
Well, you get married and say, I do. I'm now pronouncing you man and wife. He said, no. This is a great
mystery.
Goes all the way back to Genesis, a mystery. Well, what is the great
mystery?
All right. I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a great mystery. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:17, now we're talking about Christ and the church. And even in the New Testament, a lot of times when we talk about Christ, it's not Christ the body, but Christ the church. So you have to understand that, all right? So it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is what?
One
spirit. The marriage institution which God initiates foreshadows or in a type that points to the spiritual marriage of Christ, the bridegroom, and the church. All right. So all that mystery in Genesis foreshadowed God's love for the church. All right? He said, he that's joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. He that's joined to the wife is one flesh. Right. So it's all in one, all right? Now let's go to Revelation 11:15. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our
Lord
and his, well, to the Trinitarian, it sounds like it's two, because we got the Lord and his, but the Lord is Jesus, his Christ is the church. Right. So when you look at it, wait a minute, the Lord and his Christ. Well, the Lord is Christ. But it's become the kingdom of the Lord and his Christ, because Christ is not the body of Christ, but it is the body of Christ, this is the church. Because we're all baptized into one body. All right, does everybody understand that? So that is the church. And it says they were both back. Now, I can't go to Genesis because this is important. We got a few minutes. Yeah, I got 5 minutes. Now, names are important. So now we're finished with Genesis 2. Now we're going to go into Genesis chapter 3. Names are what? Important. So when we see God, Lord, say, well, what's the difference? All right, let's go to this. It says, Genesis 3:1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the... Back to the covenant relationship. Lord God of Eden. And he said unto the woman, they have... Well, why did he say the Lord God? Right? He used the Elohim as creator. Why didn't Satan say the Lord God? Because he cannot have a covenant relationship with God, with the Lord. So he can only call him God as creator. Right? So he didn't say half the Lord God said. He said half who? The Elohim said. Why? Because as it was with the Assyrians, they don't know him as a covenant relationship. They only know him as creator. All right, but let me try to finish this up. He said, you shall not eat of every tree. Now if we compare Job 1:9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear? He can never, Satan would never refer to him as Lord God because he does not have that relationship. So Satan can only refer to him as God because he is a creator. He did create him, but that's where it starts to finish. Because he can never have that kind of a covenant relationship with God. All right, does everybody understand that? All right, Satan doesn't nor can ever have a relationship with God as a redeemer or savior, and can only know him as creator. We went over this other one a little earlier. All right, verse 2 says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. Why would the woman say God? Why did she call him God when she knew, if you go back to Genesis 2:16, it says the Lord God commanded Adam, thou shalt not, you should eat of every tree in the garden, but not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why did the woman not use Lord God? Because of the covenant relationship. Right? She says she only refers to him as the creator. Well, why is she doing it? Because she's following the devil's lead. Right? That's why the Bible said the woman was what? Deceived. But man sinned willfully. Because what she should have said is the Lord God because of the covenant relationship. But she says God only as the creator. Why? Because he was deceiving her. All right, that's why. Our time. So the woman should have called the woman Lord God because of the covenant. But because she was following, that's why you gotta watch who you follow. You can't just follow everything that's out there. You gotta watch who you follow. Come on. Right? Because the devil was leading her away from God, using his name, and didn't realize it. He didn't even told her, he said, you shall be as gods, Elohim. In the plural. And God is in the plural, but he's also in the plural, but he's in the singular.
Just looking at...
But no charge?
Okay, no charge. All right. Just looking at the natural progression, spiritually as a saint. They say then you start hearing the word of God, you start reading the word.
Yes.
Relationship with God. It's like a natural progression. Really, without even knowing this deepness of the difference between Lord God and God.
Right.
When I hear that, I think of even when you think of the world, think of people out in the world now, your coworkers, anybody. They don't refer as Lord God. It's God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they don't have a relationship. But you think about in the church, we call him Lord God, and we have other names for
him. Lord
and
Savior.
Amen.
Yes.
And just like I said, just with the natural spiritual progression, without even knowing this deepness of it.
Right.
And the people out there don't call him Lord or even, it's just God because it's the Creator, those that see him as creator.
You don't see him as
it's just
creator.
A natural thing. It's just God. It's not
right.
Any closer kind of deepness to a relationship.
No covenant relationship. That's why in Revelation it says he's the Lord of lords. And he is the King of kings. Right? He is a mighty God. Revelation is full of it. He's almighty God. He's the Lord. He's this. He's the first. He's the last. He's the alpha. He's the omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's still all Jesus. He which was, which is to come, still Jesus. So, it's so, but the thing is, we're not studying to get revelations. Right? So that's important, right? We're studying for confirmation. Don't try to get a revelation. Right? Because people will be trying to say, don't get a revelation. Just get confirmation. All we're trying to do is say, if you want to study God's word, don't study it like a Gentile. Even though we're saved as Gentiles, right? We have become the Israel of God. Temporarily, we have replaced the nation of Israel, but God will come back to his people one day. Right now, the church has replaced Israel. In Galatians, I believe in the 6th chapter, Paul calls us the Israel of God. Remember, he writes from whose perspective? In Jewish perspective. So we are the Israel of God right now. All right, so we've replaced them, but eventually God will come back to his people. He will come back to his people. All right, so it's so important. As you start reading the Bible and studying God's word, every word does not mean what you think. Like the scripture that says, a man hates his mother and father. We know that's not what it means. All right, so if you don't know what it means, then what you need to do is get a concordance and cross-reference it. What does that mean except you hate your mother and father, right? That's fine. He said, what God is love. He that hates his brother is a murderer from the beginning. But then the scriptures say, you gotta hate him. Right? You gotta know what the scriptures mean. All right, so what? Yes, sir.
That's why.
What's your wife?
What you said was so important because God is dealing with the church now. So for a Jew, that will and all over there don't mean nothing. They have to come through Jesus.
They have to come through Jesus. But right now their eyes are blind. Remember, blindness on part is happening to Israel. The church is taking their place. We replace them now. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. But they're still of God's chosen people. Because they have the blessings of Abraham. Amen. All right, are there any other questions? We didn't confuse it. Also, we didn't confuse anyone. But then, next week, we really get to the really, really good parts of Genesis. Because I tell you this, right? Look, think about this. The first woman was who? Eve. And the first man was what? Adam. When Eve didn't come, become Eve, it's not what she said. Before Eve said, she was the woman. Because when she brought it to Adam, he said, this is now, he named her what? Then after she sinned, he renamed her as, no charge, let us sin. Think about that. Didn't the scripture say when he brought her to Adam, Adam called her? Then after she sinned, Adam said, your name is no longer woman, but Eve. But they said, Genesis 2 is about Adam and Eve. No, it's about Adam and woman. Amen. So do we have prayer? Anyone in prayer? Any prayer requests? Any prayer needs? Amen. Our prayer is, you know, we study the Word of God so that the Word of God becomes more real to us. You know, if we don't make the Word of God personal, it's always like abstract, it's always far away. But when you start studying God's Word to understand that everything in the Old Testament led up to the New Testament, well, the New Testament is leading us somewhere too. Right? We haven't got there yet, but it's leading us somewhere too. So it's so important that we allow God's word to speak. As we all stand, we have each one of these prayers. We ask anything, if not, let us pray.